prom night, and everything will be just fine. Wearing my sparkle dress, drinking punch like wine. Corsage on my wrist and my hair in a twist. Gonna get my crown even if I get hissed. Piling in the limo, getting to the gym, gown to the floor, and I'm showing off skin. My moves are sick, they all huddle in a crown. They'll love me till I die. Oh shit, that might be now. Good evening, and welcome to Gore, a horror podcast to keep you up at night. I'm the Wicked Kitten, always getting into mischief, and with me, as always, are my creepy co-hosts, the lovely Travis.
Hello.
The endearing, the ethereal Faye.
Hi.
And lastly, the dread you've been feeling since you hit play on this podcast, Dreadly.
Hello.
Been 2 weeks. What you doing? What you watching? How you been, Travis?
Oh, not too bad. I went to the theater and saw Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and cried a whole lot. I did finally watch Hereditary for the first time.
Oh, God.
For Wait You Haven't Seen. That was nice. That was a trip. I tell you what, for a directorial debut, holy shit.
Like, were you scared?
I was creeped out.
Yeah.
It definitely creeped me out in some parts. And some parts that in retrospect creeped me out more because I figured out what I was actually looking at. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed that movie. Enjoyed isn't the correct word, but it's as close as I can get. Like it's very, very good. Let's see what else. I mean, it's basically been, you know, a couple episodes of What You Haven't Seen. I showed a bunch of people old classic Doctor Who. None of them liked it. It was kind of funny. It wasn't a great particular episode of classic Who.
Which doctor?
Tom Baker, of course.
How can you not like Tom Baker?
Well, it was his final episode. The story wasn't particularly great. Like I could have chosen better, but we were doing on Those Were the Days. We were talking about recast characters. And so I wanted to select one where there was an actual doctor regeneration going on. That's pretty much it. I'm super stoked for Alan Wake 2, having watched yet another trailer for that, during the Sony presentation this week. And, just movies and games. I'm almost finally, literally almost done with The Outer Worlds. I have one battle left. I'm just getting my ass handed to me by it. So.
Oh, I walked in and destroyed him.
Flexing.
No, it's just great how different people play different things, different ways, the same game. And how they want to play. I love it.
I probably could have spent more time doing side quests and grinding, but I didn't. And
no, you're also from what I've watched of your shows on Twitch, you went more gunplay. I went more melee.
Yeah.
And I put all my stats in the melee too.
So yeah, that's been about it.
Exciting. Faye. How you been? What you been? What you watch? What you?
I've just been surviving those lovely 11-hour weeks for every day. 11 hours every day for a week.
I would want to do 11-hour weeks.
I would too, but just get paid for the full.
Yeah, man, 11-hour weeks sound great.
If it's 11-hour work weeks, yes, that's I would do that. Thank you. Do I get paid the same as 40? I appreciate that. I could
do that. That'd be great.
In a just and right society, yes. Unfortunately, we live here.
Society.
I've been surviving. I did get to sneak out and watch Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Woo. Loved it. I have a few things I wish that they had done that they didn't, but overall still good. That's really it other than watching Fangoria's nice little award show.
Yes, which we will get to after the news.
That's called a tease, kids. Yeah.
Kids. Dreadly! What have you been...
Phenomena!
What are you doing?
Banana.
What is it? Bananas. Banan.
Ah, well, you know, for a change, I've been playing Final Fantasy. Aha! Welcome to this Final Fantasy podcast, everyone, disguised as a horror podcast. no, still playing Final Fantasy VII, where I finally got my airship, which means that story-wise, there was quite a lot of mindfuckery going on right before that. Damn. That game got wild all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, this is an old game. I'm going to just say it. But Cloud suddenly not being who he is, but just failed experiment and then just disappearing. And now we're without Cloud. Cool. That was my best fighter. Damn you, game.
You know, normally I'd be like, it's such an old game, like you can't really spoil it, but I feel like no one was listening to a horror podcast to hear about.
You don't know this.
And then, oh shit, that I wasn't expecting that. But
exactly.
I'm sure it's fun.
But yeah. Enjoying it greatly though. That's about it for games, no? Movies? Well, we've get around to watching two great movies. One was not really horror, but we get to watch Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, we watched a D&D movie, and it was lovely.
Awesome.
Yes. I had a great time
cute
with that.
Cute little dragon.
Even not being a
thing.
I do have to rewatch some parts because I had to get up and walk away for a little bit, but the beginning and the end and whatever else I saw, it was really good.
Beginning and the end and parts in the middle.
Yeah.
Chonky Dragon.
Chonky I'll just Dragon. Have to go back.
Yes, they did a lot of nice little nods and winks to D&D stuff, which shows that the people who made it know what they were doing.
Yeah, it felt understood. Like a D&D campaign. It felt exactly like sitting around a table playing D&D.
Like, I lost it when the dude started explaining the one thing at a bridge. And he's going on and on. And you should do this and this and this and this. And then just, oops. Like, that's how a DM feels. When the party just says, woo.
Yeah. And giving my perspective as the person here that has played the least, you know, D&D stuff. I still, you know, still found the movie enjoyable without knowing what the hell was going on. It's kind of like being a kid and watching a movie and you don't get some of the jokes, but it's still, you're still having a good time.
Yeah.
So I recommend it for all people.
Definitely.
For all human beings.
And then another great movie we watched, which I shall not go into details because one of us has to wait. We watched Renfield, which... I shall just say, is also great.
That is a great movie.
And fun. Great and fun. There. Travis, you'll have to deal with that.
I'll have to deal with that for the next 2.5 months.
I mean, a small spoiler, there might be a vampire in there.
Sorry.
And now he can't enjoy it. Yes.
Damn you.
But yeah, that's about it what I noted down. Apparently, I haven't done much these past 2 weeks. Where have I been?
We watched the season break Joe Bob.
Yeah.
That we did.
We had two episodes of Joe Bob, right?
And what movie did we watch?
Look, wait. Before we go to that, what was the movie 2 weeks ago? Not last week, but the week before. None of us will remember it, right?
Nope, not a clue.
not with the way my brain is.
I could look it up, but I'm tired.
I'm pulling it up.
Pull it up.
I'm already happy I remember the last movie.
Yeah, but I like to go in order. You know me. I have some weird order disease.
Order. I don't remember what it was now.
That's bugging me.
Oh, yes.
We watched The Babadook. I was the only one who had seen it before, apparently.
I had seen it.
Oh, so me and Dredd were the only ones who had seen it before, apparently. And, you know, so I had a fine time. And
that's right. I was trying to, because I saw that and then Hereditary last week. And it was two, it was two really good horror movies in like a 2 week span that I had just missed. So I was glad to watch both of those. Thank you for the reminder.
I only agree with 50% of that statement.
Look, Hereditary is an acquired taste. It is a very specific taste of movie, and we all have our things. Like, I don't like body horror. That's it. We all have our things.
I'm sure we're going to talk about Hereditary at some point on this show, so I don't want to go too deep into it.
Oh yeah, no. Plus, you know, in case anyone hasn't seen it. Where was, yeah. And then, so the second week's movie, the season break was The Mutilator.
Fall Break?
Or Fall Break.
And it was just what I remembered that movie being when we covered it for the show. Yes.
It was just as good as it was originally.
Exactly.
I knew I could say a neutral phrase.
Exactly as good as I remember it being.
Oh, and it's funny because I had just rewatched it, and it's just, you know, it's me and slashers. Like, that's, you know, you all know that's my flavor. I will watch damn near any slasher. And have to my own detriment. But that was a nice fall break, or summer break as it were. And they'll be back at the end of June, so we await their return. I watched a couple more movies. I watched a movie called Rent-A-Pal, which is I had never heard of before, and it's a psychological kind of horror movie about a dude who he lives in his mother's house in the basement. He's about 40 years old, and he takes care of her. She has dementia, right? And so he's doing like video dating, so it's in that time frame. And he finds this video called Rent-A-Pal, and it's basically this dude that's on a video cassette that talks and leaves space for you to have a conversation back with him. But the person on the video is played by Will Wheaton. Or I should say Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
Didn't know he was in the movie. Somebody recommended it to me, and it was just, it's a weird fucking movie. So if you're into weird fucking movies, it is very slow paced. That has to be like, yeah, but it was nice. I also watched a movie called Censor, which is, did I talk about this already? No, right? Because this was like last week. But I watched a movie called Censor, and it's about a woman who is back in the days of the video nasties over in Britain and whatnot. And she watches horror movies to give them, like, you know, ratings and stuff. And it is a very, once again, another psychological movie, which I like. And it's pretty decent. I also watched for the first time the original House on Haunted Hill and The Bat. I made it like a double feature of Vincent Price. Of, you know, because that man is a trash.
Priceless.
Yes. So I did that. And I also watched American Psycho for the first time ever. And that was, holy shit, that movie is a fucking, whoa, that's a fucking movie.
There's a lot to unpack in that movie.
Yeah. I think I might be insane now watching it, but yeah, it's one of those movies that like I watched, I liked, but I need to watch it again to really mm-hmm. tell you how I feel.
Yeah, because I remember the first time I saw that, it was playing at a, it was when I was going to college and we had a little like student theater. You could go and watch a movie for like a buck or something. And they were playing that and it was the year, they would always get stuff that was like a year old. And so I'm watching that movie and I was like, throughout the entire thing, I didn't like it. And then at the end, I was like, oh, actually, this is probably pretty good, but now I need to watch it again and figure that out. Like, I needed a second viewing just to like fully wrap my brain around what I had seen.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. But I think it's time to peek around that corner and give you some of the highlights of horror news.
Well, Five Nights at Freddy's got a release date. We're going to get that movie on October 27th of this year. Woo. From Blumhouse Productions. And I'll tell you what, I watched the trailer again. I mean, it's going to be what it is, but like a Five Nights at Freddy's movie, I think based on the trailer, I'm cautiously optimistic about it. I think it'll be fun. I think I'm hoping that it will be better than Willy's Wonderland. And maybe I need to watch Willy's Wonderland again. But my problem with that movie was the repetitive nature of it. It just kind of felt like they had 45 minutes worth of story and they stretched it out to an hour and a half.
Not wrong.
So I'm kind of hoping we don't get that. And that's my only complaint about Willy's.
Now they'll stretch it out to five nights.
There was a lot of repetitiveness in Willy's Wonderland. That's for damn sure.
You know, and it bums me out because, like, Nick Cage, obviously, anyone that knows me knows I love Nick Cage. So the idea of Nick Cage fighting demonic animatronics, I was like, you had me at hello. It's sort of like saying, yeah, this movie's called Snakes on a Plane. I'm in. I don't care. But it did just, it needed just another, like, one more layer of something, one more act of some story to go on.
So another small spoiler. Nick Cage might be in Renfield.
Yeah, thanks.
Might be why he's waiting.
You know, let me just segue really quickly and say this one thing, but they're adding Nick Cage as a character in Dead by Daylight. Does that excite you, Travis?
A little bit. A little bit, yeah.
I mean,
listen, the man's a national treasure and he must be protected at all costs.
Literally national treasure.
I see what you did there. Uh-huh.
Yes. Unfortunately, he's not going to be a killer or an observer. He's going to be a survivor, which is still exciting. It's just it would have been kind of cool to see him as a killer.
It would have been. He could have gone like full his character in Mandy. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
another movie that's got its new trailer is Haunted Disney's Haunted Mansion.
Yay!
So
with Eddie Murphy, it's
kind of fun. No.
I was going to say, I saw that movie. It was with Eddie Murphy. It was how long ago? Like 2004?
They got to remake it like every 20 years.
It's looking pretty good in the little teaser trailer that they've put out.
Yeah, it's got that Disney shine to it. That's for damn sure. So, Hollywood Dreams and Nightmares, the Robert Englund story, will release on June 6th exclusively to Screambox. So, you know, go check that out. And Screambox, if you would like to sponsor the show, hello. But yeah, that's really exciting. Love Robert Englund. And his life story is probably pretty interesting.
Anybody who's been in Hollywood as long as he has some interesting stories. There's no way around that.
Mm-hmm. I believe it. I mean, all going back to V.
So we're going to take a quick couple minutes and we're just going to talk about the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards because me and Faye both watched it. Just want to go over some of the winners and, you know, let me see. Best creature effects was Prey. Makeup effects was Terrifier 2. Costume design was Prey. Like, these are just amazing. They gave the best score to John Carpenter for Halloween Kills. Makes sense, right? Best screenplay went to Black Phone. I'm not saying Black Phone wasn't a good movie. I'm just saying I feel like
kind of cheating if you're based on a book or a story already.
Well, it's a screenplay. They have to like rewrite it, sort of.
I mean, but they have most of the stuff already there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
But I will say, no, I will quickly defend. A screenplay is not a novel. It's not a short story. Adapting a screenplay is not easy. I mean, granted, something like the Academy Awards does have two categories for original story and adapted screenplay, but it doesn't take anything away that you're adapting something versus creating a new story. It's still writing a screenplay, which is not an easy thing to do.
Best director went to Jordan Peele. I did not see, I actually didn't see Nope yet, but I will watch it soon. Lead performance went to Mia Goth for Pearl, which I was incredibly excited for. She absolutely deserves that.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Best first feature went to my personal favorite movie, Watcher. That's just the movie that I've been crazy about for the last 6 months, and I keep telling everybody go watch this, directed by Chloe Akunu. Like, it's just such a good movie. And best wide release movie, Black Phone. Makes sense. Best limited release movie went to Terrifier 2. So, very proud of that. That movie really gained some serious traction. And best streaming premiere movie was Prey.
Which, that was a new category, wasn't it?
Yes.
I say give it to Hellraiser.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, it's... Both of those movies were really good. It's really hard to choose.
I mean, they're both nominated, so, like, they were both just as good. It's just, you know, one. So...
Was Hellraiser up for a few awards? Because I'm looking over the winners right now. And it didn't.
Yeah. Didn't Hellraiser was up for best streaming premiere movie and makeup effects and
supporting role, I think. Something like that.
Best series was Stranger Things.
Which I have an issue with. Yeah. Like, come on, guys. Stranger Things already wins enough awards.
Yeah, but they just have so many fans.
Exactly.
That's just the thing. It's like I love to see what the, you know, what the people think is a good movie or good, you know, because they vote on this, the viewers, the horror fans.
Yeah, people are never wrong. Ever.
No.
They don't cheat either.
I hope not. I mean, I'm sure there's a way to cheat, but cheaters never win. Cheaters never win. My favorite thing was they had a new award for the best Amityville. And so some of them were Amityville in Space, Amityville Scarecrow 2, and Amityville Christmas Vacation, which actually won. I don't know what the hell Amityville Christmas Vacation entails. Also, I don't know.
I think the house takes a vacation. It's like, the house is like, well, let's go.
Yeah. So.
No, that was space. That was in space.
Oh.
Also.
Well, they had, you know.
the last thing I want to say before we move on is that they had a write-in ballot for the best kill. So it wasn't multiple choice. Everybody wrote in, you know. And overwhelmingly, it was Killing Allie in Terrifier 2, which is, if you've seen the movie, you know who that is. That is, wow, yeah, that is an amazing kill.
Brutal.
And now for tonight's feature presentation.
This synopsis is brought to you by Monster, not the drink, an actual monster.
All right. Prom is coming up soon, and we still need to decide on a theme.
The beach!
We're gonna have a good time.
No. That's been done to death.
Well, that's my plan out the window.
How about the 70s?
Ooh, Jaws team?
Dun-dun.
No, I was thinking more like 70s disco. You know, do a little dance.
Make a little love.
Get drowned tonight.
I don't think that's right.
Okay, so we'll need a funky dance floor, disco balls, rolling heads.
What?
I even know the perfect DJ. My brother. He can spin some killer tunes.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious.
And don't call you Shirley?
I don't know that reference. That movie only came out like 2 weeks ago.
Prom Night is a 1980 slasher film directed by Paul Lynch and written by William Gray, starring Jamie Lee Curtis and Leslie Nielsen. This is a proper 80s slasher, the kind this show was made for. It hits all the nostalgia buttons, and most of the trope buttons, too. So how do you feel about this movie, Travis?
So up until earlier today, I would have sworn to you that I had seen this movie before, and I had not. So
you kind of
I watched
did.
It.
A little bit. And
kind of
Scream.
A little bit, but yeah. It's fine. I mean, it's 1980. It's clearly in that same vein of like the first Friday the 13th, where somebody saw Halloween, thought, hey, that's a good idea. I should make a movie based around a holiday. So let's do prom. Sure. Go with prom and run with it. And I definitely got the feeling multiple times during this movie, like, ooh, this would be a cool idea. Ooh, what if we did this? And we'll just tack that on. Because there were parts of this that felt like they were added later, like the whole subplot with the crazed killer, the crazy guy that got burnt mm-hmm. or whatever happened. Like, yeah, caught fire getting out of his car for some reason. I might have passed out at that point. I'm not sure. But like escaping the mental institution yeah. and taking a nurse. I'm like, OK, all right. So we're
that
aping a little bit from. It's like I've seen that movie before. it would have been clever to have that be Michael Myers. To have like in some vague way, that would have been very clever. But this is too early on for that to have been a thing. But like that being tacked on, the ending was confusing. And then I read afterwards that there were a lot of deleted scenes that apparently get put back into some network TV version. So yeah. I don't know about that, but I do know that like I could tell, or it felt as though there were a bunch of scenes we didn't get that would have given us, you know, they wanted to do like a whole thing with, you know, is the dad or the mom, all these red herrings of like, who could be the killer. And yeah, then they were just like, or we could just do this. Sure, why not? But it's fine. This I didn't hate it. Jamie Lee Curtis is great. Most of the acting is actually pretty good. And I will always love a movie that has a van full of nitroglycerin and gasoline that just casually falls over a ledge and then explodes in a fiery ball.
Excuse me. It explodes before it touches the ground.
Absolutely. Before just it like, touches what? Anything.
That nitroglycerin got sloshed around inside there.
It's like gravity.
Yeah,
went
over the cliff. Doing donuts.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that was, I was like, oh, all right. Great. Okay. It was a bummer too, because that was a nice van.
Yeah, it was a nice
There was a couple
van.
Good cars. There was his van and then her Corvette was very nice. There were some nice cars in this.
Yeah, why did and I'm watching it and I want to be the mean girl because like I'm like I'd drive that and the car too.
Yeah, and it was one of those horror movies with like 90% unlikable characters.
Yeah,
well, most of them you just hate,
and for different reasons.
True.
Like you know. We have we'll get into the tropes later, but we got the idiot cops again. That's fun.
Oh yeah. always. But it was cool to see like Leslie Nielsen for the few minutes that he's on screen was wonderful.
I'm still wondering where he went at the end. I'm still wondering. Oh,
he was 100% him and the wife, him and the mom were the chicken in the bucket of this movie. Like they just disappear and no one knows where they went. And then we just don't care anymore. And we go on. We just, I was wondering where your dad went. I don't know. Anyway. And that was it.
Apparently, like you said, the cut scenes, like it, there's supposed to be a scene where he shows up or something, but like I saw him at the prom and that's the last place I saw him.
Yeah. But that's clearly what they were doing because he's at the prom.
Yeah.
Then he disappears. And then they're like, hey, where's your dad? I haven't seen him. And you're like, ah, he's the killer. Which is what the movie wants. And then
there's four red herrings in the movie. Four. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well,
and
let me just say the burnt killer dude. I know they're trying to make him a red herring, but you say he's burned. Okay. And then you show the killer his hands as he does all the phone dialing and all that. And there's no burns ever and anywhere. So it's like,
But, you know, it could have been somebody else was doing the phone stuff and then somebody else was actually killing. But, Faye, how did you feel about the movie?
I feel I probably would have liked it better if I saw it growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that I'm with Travis. It's not that it's bad. It's just another movie.
Yeah. Well, we know you're not a, as you've said before, not a slashery person.
No, I for me, it needs to be more supernatural, but yeah. It's,
which I almost thought they were going to do, by the way. I thought maybe, just maybe, the killer was going to be the little girl that died, and that's why her voice was raspy, because she cut her throat on the glass and came back to life. And that she would be the killer. At that point, I was like, shit, anything's possible. Like, that why not?
The reddest of herrings.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But you'll have to wait until Hello, Mary Lou Prom Night 2 before you get that. Which I mean, will be coming next year.
That I think I actually have seen.
That one I love. That one is the one I've seen the most. This was my first time watching this. I'll get into it more. I should actually go to Dread. I'm going out of order now. Dread, how did you feel about this movie?
Well, this was also my first time watching this movie. Which would think is weird because I love Leslie Nielsen. Then again, I didn't know he was in this until very recently when I was like, hey, he's in a horror movie. Interesting. Yeah,
I didn't know until I saw his name in the credits.
Neither did I. And again, I would have sworn I had seen this movie. And yet I see Leslie Nielsen. I'm like, no shit. Apparently all I knew about it, this was Jamie Lee Curtis was in it. And it was like the movie she did after Halloween, the same year that she made, that she was in, The Fog, like that's
and Terror somehow Train.
That's all
right?
I knew. Yeah, those were all 1980. It was Terror Train, The Fog, and Prom Night all in a year.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just impressive.
Meanwhile, you have Leslie Nielsen and this and Airplane. It's the same year, like 2 weeks apart. They get released.
Yes,
I was like, what? How?
And not only that, but like Airplane being the movie that completely changed Leslie Nielsen's career. Mm-hmm. It comes out 2 weeks before this, where he was just kind of wandered by the set, I guess. And they're like, hey, you want to play the dad? Sure, I'll do that. Why not?
You know what it reminded me of? It was kind of, it had the vibes of Black Christmas to it. Because like, there's the whole, like, there's the cops trying to do their job ineptly. And, you know, I feel like slashers later on in the 80s, they just kind of dropped the pretense of actual adults in the movie.
Oh yes. No, and the cops, like, they weren't great at their job in this, but at least they were trying and they weren't like utterly useless. Like that, I was very confused at first why that sergeant or lieutenant was having flashback memories of the case. I'm like, so he just sits around thinking about this case every 6 years, I guess. Yep. And then they're like, oh, he broke out and he's talking to that. I'm like, okay, all right, so there's a reason for this.
Yep. But by the way, these flashbacks, they felt so weird. The cut of them, the way they were cut, it was like, what?
It was like little piece flashback, little piece flashback, little piece flashback. I'm like, and Dredd even said, like, this is so weird. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like I've seen this in a movie, but better. Like, this is just, there's just something not right about it that's kind of, like, disorienting or something. It's, yet again, one of these, like, not holiday, but, you know, day-themed
things. Prom-a-day?
Prom-a-day, sure. Yeah. And I like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing my voice, apparently. it also features what I'm going to call the slowest rotary dialer in the world. It was like...
I mean, you grew up with rotary phones, right? I know I did. If you dramatically dial one of those, it takes a while.
But exactly. This is my point, though. Like, he was all, like, dramatic about it. Like, because it wasn't just like, da-doom, da-doom, da-doom. Yeah. Like, I've seen people do it in movies.
You need to understand the original title of this was The Dramatic Dialer.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that was his most effective skill, because he was terrible with an axe.
This is all fun and games, but you know what it's time for?
The 13.
The 13 is a specially cultivated list of tropes or our favorite things from horror movies. This list may change or be adjusted as time goes on, and in real time, because this is real life. And you're gonna love me till I die. Number one, kitty cat.
No cats.
No cats.
No dogs either.
No aminals. After watching American Psycho, I'm just really glad not to see pets in movies anymore. For a while. That's fine. That was bad.
Well, there was one animal, but, you know, he was talking and moving around and acting.
Number two, Volkswagen.
Yes.
I like that they showed a picture of it and I was excited. And then you saw it drive by and I was also excited.
There was a couple of them too, because there was one in the parking lot, I think, in the one scene. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I believe so as well.
When the cops were driving through the parking lot, I think they went past a Volkswagen because he said, like, if we see that blue Volkswagen, and then as they were driving by, like, a taupe Volkswagen.
Yep. Also, a special shout out to the B team van, which was the wannabe A team van, which was not it.
Mm-hmm. The shagging van.
Oh, yeah.
The shagging wagon. Oh, man. Yeah. And you know that thing. Like, you don't want to put a black light in the back of that thing.
Nope.
Oh, goodness gracious.
It probably reeked of weed, too.
One or two.
He had a hidden book full of rolled joints. Like, that dude was prepared.
Our second book safe, by the way. Also, Black Christmas. Also filmed in Canada.
Canada.
Huh. I wonder if they have a thing about book safes.
I only realized partway through that it was filmed in Canada because of the accents of a couple of the actors. I'm like, hey, this is a Canadian film, isn't it?
Well, I thought it was the Halloween set at first. Well, not set, because when they're walking down the street, that looks exactly like the Halloween area.
It really did feel like the streets of Haddonfield for some reason. And I was like, well, maybe they filmed it in California. And then, like, we kept watching and it was... Canada, but it did have that feel of, you know, anywhere in America.
Yep.
Small town America.
Yep, we're the only ones that exist. Sorry, Canada. Number three, scary location, time of the year, holiday.
Yeah, prom night, abandoned hospital.
Was that a hospital, right?
Or school, abandoned building that the kids were playing in. Yeah, because, you know,
abandoned. Yeah, we're gonna go with abandoned.
The '70s, and that's just what you do.
Yeah.
Well, you're not allowed to be at home.
I just want to reiterate, prom night, everything is all right. Because I want to. Prom night, everything is all right.
Okay, I've played a lot of hide and seek, not necessarily in abandoned buildings with broken glass, but like I've played a lot of hide and seek when I was a kid. I don't ever remember the seeker being a killer and yelling about being a killer the entire time you're playing it.
Yeah, it was, and
then the people that you find join you and work to find the others.
That's how killers work, you know. You get infected and then you become a killer.
You know what that was? That was Zombie the Game is what that was.
That's weird.
It was very weird.
It's like I like these games and movies where like they're kind of or they're either games that I've never played before, never heard of, or maybe they're like regional things. But like the clap and die from The Conjuring and whatever the hell they were playing in Mutilator. Like I've never played any of these things.
Still haven't figured that one out.
Yeah, that one was just weird.
It was, I have to say, it was funny though when the kids make the girl fall out of the window and then they're like, we can't tell anyone. They'll think it's our fault.
Because it was.
Yes. That's how that works.
I'm sorry. You get somebody that wasn't originally a part of the group that gets kind of thrown into your play. They're visibly scared out of their minds, and you continue to push them towards a window that they're going to fall out of. I mean, yeah.
We know this. Children are monsters. We've established this. Like this is known. This is a known quantity, and this movie just hammered it home.
Number four, meta horror, fourth wall breaks. Mentioning the title, they sing the damn title.
There also is. It's not meta horror, but there is a moment where you see the phone number on the phone, and that's a real area code and phone number. They didn't do a 555 random fake number. It's a real number. And it's still in service today. It's a dummy number or a backup number for like somewhere in Ohio Parks and Recreation Department.
Interesting. We should call it live on the air. No, I'm just, I ain't calling nothing. That's how people get murdered. Number five, archetype characters. Right off the bat, Mr. Sykes is Crazy Ralph, or the old guy that nobody believes for whatever reason.
Yeah, and again, the sort of, we want him to be maybe a red herring, but didn't do a very good job of that. Yeah, he's like, that's the whole thing, was he's creepy. There was, Monobrow. Monobrow was definitely an archetype character, the just like...
Bad boy.
The bad boy. I'm sorry, but I refuse to believe that nobody told that dude not to smoke in the school. Like, talk about the not giving a shit. He's just like lighting up a cigarette right there in the hallway. And then during prom, which his tux for prom, though, was choice.
I love it. And he's like proud of it. When he walks in, he's like, see?
Jeans, just the bow tie, no collar to his shirt. Right? Jacket, cummerbund. I mean, he went all out. Kept it in the trunk and everything.
Well, I mean, it was just like the other guy with the tux, the t-shirt tux with the tux imprint. See,
I would have appreciated that. That I enjoy that, the tuxedo shirt. That's just a fun time for everyone.
We also had the archetype character of the creepy dude pushing for sex in high school. And then getting upset when the girl changes her mind. I think my note was that guy can go get fucked by a cactus.
Oh God.
By the way, the actor that played him is, it was his acting debut, it was Jeff Wincott. And I saw that name and I was like, that couldn't be, but it is. It's the older brother of actor Michael Wincott, who you've seen in things before. He's got that real gravelly voice.
Oh, that's funny, because I was like, the last name, I'm like, that seems familiar, but I never looked him up, because I...
Yeah, I was like, Jeff Wincott, I wonder if he's related. Yep, it's older brother of Michael Wincott, who played Drew, one of many characters that I was rooting for to die in this movie.
Yes, he did.
And I'm not normally like that, but they really made me not like characters. They did a great job.
Well, also we mentioned, we touched on it before, but the creepy evil kids who grow up to be just shitty teenagers.
Yeah.
Shitty teenagers.
And other than that, you basically have all the school kids.
What's weird is the kids, when they were kids, they were terrible, right? Because they obviously they caused that girl's death and all of that. But then the four of them grow up and only one of them is really shitty. Like,
I mean,
the guy,
Nick, the other guy is shitty too.
But there was the three girls and the boy, and Nick, it felt like at some point he wanted to confess what happened, but he was afraid to. And the movie just didn't take enough time to like give him any kind of actual growth or a story arc. But the other two girls didn't grow in the 6 years to be nearly as bad as the one that kind of was the ringleader, so to speak, when they were younger. Like, they just, you know.
Yeah. But I think it was enough that they, you know, they killed the girl and.
Oh, sure.
The other dude, like, he, you know, he kind of showed remorse, and he's the only one who didn't pick up the phone when the phone rang. So technically not it. I don't know.
Which is why he's the only one that didn't die.
Yeah, that, or he was just dating, you know, the sister. So, and he got lucky. Anyone got any other archetype characters before I move on?
The police lieutenant.
Clueless adults.
Yes. Good both. Thank you. The adults are pretty clueless, and the cops are, I mean, like, none of them are really bad. I'm just like, they're, you know. Oh, and the Wendy is the mean girl. The, like, super friggin' mean girl. Number 6. Pointless boobies, weird wings, moonies, or Fanny? Moonies!
Got a moony. Got a straight up moon to a creepy janitor dude.
And it was dude moony, so that's always fun.
Did we get dude moony too?
Wasn't it the dude that showed his butt in the window?
No, it was the girl when they were coming off the tennis court, and turns to creepy janitor guy, and she goes, "Hey, this is for you," and just pulls her shorts down, and then gets yelled at by her gym teacher.
Yes,
I thought somebody did it in the car window. What the hell was I watching?
That was Mutilator, probably. I don't know.
Nobody mooned anyone in that. I don't know what I'm thinking of, but I see a butt in a car window.
Night of the Demons.
That's probably that might be what you're thinking of. Well, it wasn't this.
There was a Mooney. And boobies.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Number 7. Telling, retelling the legend in, or establishing the movie's rules. Breaking Randy's rules.
I mean, we get the inciting incident at the beginning, and then there's a little tiny bit with the doctor and the cop, like, basically recounting what happened and giving us the backstory of crazed killer guy.
Crazed killer.
So that we can shoehorn that into the movie. So kind of, sort of, but not really.
Maybe this is also a good place to ask, did anyone know what the plan was at the prom? They were going to do something. Mean girl and Warner Bros. They were like, we have a plan. We're going to make sure she'll never forget this. And then what was the plan? Did they just stand there?
My thought was when they started talking about that, I'm thinking, okay, we're going bucket of pig's blood and carry.
We're going carry.
Drop something on him. That was my first thought. And then, no, they jump the guy, knock him unconscious, tie him up, put tape over his mouth, and take his crown and stand there like nobody's going to notice that.
That'll show her.
The king, like.
but that was even after that they talk to each other and he's like going to do something. And she's like, well, I don't want anyone get hurt. So that wasn't even the plan. That was like the second plan. That
he thought of at the last minute. It's so weird. Like, you're right. They don't ever say what they were going to do. But I guess that's fine. Why write an actual solution when you can just leave?
We'll just go to the prom and we'll stand there next to the dance floor watching them dance. That'll teach them.
Yeah. And smoke cigarettes.
Smoking to cigarettes. Number 8. Dance sequence, montage sequence, flashbacks.
Hell yeah. All of them.
Yes.
All of them.
Okay. So this has the best dance sequence I have ever seen. Ever. In horror movies. It's so good. So good. There's fucking booty bumping, and that is like one of my favorite parts of this whole thing. The choreographed dance is just so much fun. The fake disco music is...
So, you know, I like the story. I like the story that they had to get a dance double for the actor playing Nick because he couldn't keep up with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, I can imagine.
Who was, you know, trained as a dancer, and so he could not handle doing that. And also the music, the guy had to write all the disco songs in like 5 days because they shot everything with licensed music. And then we're like, we can't afford any of this. We need legally distinguishable disco songs, which is why there's one song that as I'm listening to, I'm like, this is not quite I Will Survive. But I'm pretty sure they were listening to I Will Survive during the filming of it.
Oh, yeah. Did you read about the lawsuit too?
A little bit, yeah.
That is just they didn't have the money for the music, so instead they did that, and then they got sued for like $10 million, which they settled to like $50,000. But I just thought it was funny. But I guess it worked out because the movie actually did make money in the theater, so they probably ended up being able to pay it. But still, that's funny how movies get made. But it's just so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, once that dance sequence hit, I'm like, okay, so somebody saw Halloween, Carrie, and Saturday Night Fever and thought, let's put all of that in one movie. And more power to them. They got themselves a disco floor. It was 1980. Disco was still alive.
Well, the problem I had is, once again, Airplane that came out the same year also has a disco scene.
That's true.
That's all I could see. That's all I was like, oh.
I was waiting for somebody, because they also do like spin around just like an airplane.
The whole
right?
spin around, and you put the camera on both actors, and you switch. And,
exactly, that was kind of great. I love it. Nobody flung around. This was like, you know, just it was just so much fun. It went on longer than you thought it should go.
They did the entire song.
And yeah.
That song went places, but all else for the next point.
Babe, but prom night, you know, everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Everything is all right. I love it. I love it. It's just so much fun. It's just, that's the thing. Like, there is like horror, there's, you know, slashing and bloody things and people being jerks, but then there's like a nice little fun music-y thing. Speaking of, number 9, scary score, spooky soundtrack. Is this the kind of music that keeps us humming?
Let's see. Let's test it out.
Well, it keeps Monica humming.
I mean, look, given that the composer got 5 days to rewrite a bunch of disco songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in prom night, he just threw everything at it. All the instruments. All the songs.
That was disco. Disco was like freaking crazy. That is absolutely Love Me Till I Die had your favorite the psycho violin things. It's like nice little stings.
Mm-hmm.
Was
let's bring I loved disco it. Back. Yeah.
No.
No, but I will say what it does do is it does make this movie memorable for that, right? You're going to remember the music, even if you don't know the individual songs, you're going to remember, oh, Prom Night was the one that had disco in it.
Everything.
That's good. Right. That's good for it. It's good for the movie.
Good for you, movie. Number 10. That scared the shit out of me. Jump scares, one last scare, and other creepy shit. I'm going to go on record as saying the only thing that really creeped me out was the voice used by the killer on the phone. Like, that was just, there's just something about the voice and my whole ear thing, you know, where I'm sensitive to, like, that voice really did give me the creeps. And that's
heavy breathing.
It was like the raspy.
I found that voice less threatening than Evil from New Year's Evil, so I don't know.
No, come on. This was way better than New Year's Evil guy. Like, this was actually like trying or something. This was better than that. You got to give me that.
I was surprised with there weren't a bunch of jump scares. There weren't a bunch of, like, even the kills were largely off screen.
Yeah.
And I guess originally this got rated PG and they were like, we need to add more blood. we need to get an R rating.
Happen that way.
Nobody's going to go to a PG horror film.
Well, that's the thing. Well, when I was watching it, it was like, I was enjoying the movie and then suddenly, like, we get the first kill and I was like, wait, I had a look and we were like an hour already in. So most of the movie is just chill prom stuff. Actually,
it's establishing the shitty characters so that you could attach yourself to them and then they're going to die.
Yeah.
But as Travis said, you didn't like anyone in this. So the more you got to know them, the less you liked them.
Well, like Leslie Nielsen. I like Leslie Nielsen.
Well, he didn't die.
By the way, interestingly, the remake of this movie from 2008, slasher film, rated PG-13.
And it's awful, by the way.
It's absolutely awful. I don't doubt that. But, and yet we'll have to watch it at one point.
Yeah, but we have 4 prom night movies, by the way. I mean, we have 3 more to go. There are 4. Which, by the way, the little kid who played... Was it Alex? Little Alex? Yeah. Little Alex, he is in all 4 prom night movies playing different characters. I found that out, like, I don't know, a year or so ago or something like that. I was looking at something. And it's in the trivia as well. But he plays a little kid here, and then he plays...
Ming-Na Wen and Idris Elba are in the prom night remake.
Oh. What? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was my reaction too. I mean, look, anything for a paycheck, I get it, but like, eesh.
Number 11, someone does stupid shit, or name your favorite trope.
Well, the kids at the beginning, we can't let anyone know or they'll think it wasn't an accident.
Yep. Yes, exactly that. And the movie starting with a prank, which is one of the biggest tropes of horror movies of the 80s. It always starts with some sort of thing going wrong.
Yep.
And the killer saw it all happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Can we touch on that real quick? That, like, the swerve at the end that the killer's the little brother, who apparently in a deleted scene, they were twins.
I mean, they were wearing the same shirt.
And I noticed that they were dressed the same, but he's the killer. He saw what happened, but he never told anyone.
Maybe he was traumatized.
But he seemed perfectly well adjusted at the beginning of the movie. It felt like they got to act 3 while they were filming and they're like, shit, we need a killer still. Like, we just have random person in all black. Hell, fuck it. Make it the brother. That'll make as much sense as anything else.
I'm not going to lie. When they revealed it was the brother, I was surprised because I legitimately forgot there was a brother in the movie.
Me too.
Like, oh, right. Like, oh, shit. And they even have, like, they have the scene where he defends his sister and gets sent to the principal's office. And it's his father. And his father's like, you know, does the dad thing. And then, yeah, he's largely forgotten about for the rest of the movie and then shows up at the killer at the end. And I was like, okay, you didn't even, like, pretend to red herring him at any point as the killer. It was like, no. Ooh, look over here, I mean, look over here, look over here. Oh, by the way, it's him.
Yeah, like, they do have some scenes and stuff where he's the DJ, so he could have a vantage point of everyone at the prom and whatnot and that kind of thing. But yeah, they definitely just...
Well, yeah.
It sounds like they had like these four different red herrings, and then they were like, eeny, meeny, miny, oh, the brother. So...
Well, obviously also being a DJ is excellent for being a killer. Because no one will notice you're gone.
Yeah, you just put the song on and then you walk away.
Well, and that was the thing. He wasn't even.
We all know disco songs are 20 minutes long.
He wasn't even the DJ. He was just the assistant helping with the sound.
Yeah. So then he could walk away and not be noticed even more.
I had one inverted trope.
Yes.
So in most horror movies, you always have a couple having sex. In this case, the van couple.
Yeah.
And in every horror movie, you have the girl that hears a thing, and she's like, "What was that?" And the guy's like, "Nothing. I want to have sex." And here, it's the guy that hears a thing. He's like, "What?" And the girl doesn't hear anything. Nice.
I feel bad. I kind of feel bad for Slick. Like, he was just, you know, he just was doing his thing. Wrong place, wrong time.
At least he got killed after.
Yeah.
True. And he was probably baked off of his ass at that point, too. So, like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, he was doing donuts in the lawn.
And he, and I mean, he exploded. So he didn't really feel it.
Which also is a trope on its own. Exploding van. Okay.
Exploding van.
There was two for me where everything about Monobrow was just, like, just everything about him. But
Neanderthal.
Also, one of my favorite tropes is, and it, you don't see this anymore, but it's the school with an auto shop.
Oh,
That was
she wanders in there, and it was, they've got the whole full, like, multiple bay auto shop, and they're working on cars, and it's like, you don't get that anymore. Schools don't have those.
And she was laying on top of the seat, just that you can easily see through the windows.
Yeah, like what are you doing?
No, sure.
But no, it's okay. She locked the door. It's okay.
Yeah. Right. There's no way
you can't break the window or anything.
No, there's no way.
No, it's not at all.
Glass.
Wasn't it a convertible too? I'm pretty sure it was a convertible.
But he still broke the window.
Could have been.
Another subverted, inverted, whatever the hell you want to call it, trope is that the virgin dies. She says no, and she still dies. So that's awesome. I mean, you know what I mean. Like,
huh? So you heard it here, folks. Say yes.
If you're gonna die anyways, enjoy yourself first.
There you
Well, that guy was a jerk. But I like it because, you know, the other way it sends the wrong message, even though it's a funny trope to have. It's like, you know, sex equals death, like there's something wrong with it. And there's not. Sex is a beautiful thing between consenting adults.
Keyword, consenting adults.
Yeah. Well, they were like 18. That's adult. That's their business. No. That's not my business.
Either way, she didn't consent. She didn't consent, and thankfully he left. It didn't go too far.
Thankfully, but he scarred her. She's dead.
Yeah, she didn't have to deal with that for very long. So that trauma was short-lived.
Yeah. But that's like such a huge example of like manipulation and coercion. It's so ridiculous that you have to act that way. Like, he went from like, oh, you know, I care about you so much to like, that's it, I'm gone. What? I'm sorry. I was going to say that's a 180.
Oh, no, worse than that. It was, if you won't do it, I'll find someone who will.
Exactly. Oh.
Fuck you.
So fucking bad. What
Cactus,
an asshole.
Right up the poop chute.
Another trope, decapitation. One of my favorite tropes. Love a good decapitation. And that was great because it was really his head. So there was none of that. That head looks fake.
Nope. That was the best looking decapitated head you ever see, because they built him into the stage.
I bet you one of the FX guy was like, looked at his, you know, face and was like, no.
Nope, I don't have enough eyebrow hairs for that guy. No. Sorry, I can't connect them. I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the perfect timing corpse that ends up getting Wendy killed. She's hiding in the closet. Falls at the right moment to make her scream. So stupid.
Well, if they hadn't covered it in red paint, it wouldn't have slipped down like that.
I love that. Thanks for reminding me. I love that. It looked terrible, that blood. And I was like, wow, that's paint. And then they slowly pan up, and you actually see the paint bucket. And I'm like, ha! And then it's blood anyway, and then the corpse falls.
He was like, well, that's done. Just paint. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's blood. And he's like, no, look, it's paint. Look, a paint. And then she falls, and they're just like.
But it's like they knew it was terrible, and they were like, we're going to do it. We're going to put that in there.
Okay.
I feel like somebody knew something on that set.
Well,
I do like Wendy and Lou teaming up to be bullies and shitty people also. Like, that was kind of great.
Well, it's not a trope. There was a great exchange between Nick and Slick when they meet at the prom. When he says, he introduces himself to Kim and then says to Nick, you know, hi, I'm Slick. And he's like, yeah, I noticed.
No.
That's pretty good. I'll give you that one. That was a nice exchange.
I like it. Oh, we already mentioned that Leslie Nielsen is the dad in the bucket. The chick in the bucket. Which I decided, and if we can remember this and write this down, for the purposes of our show, we should from now on call Chicks in the Bucket Disappearing Shirleys. Just for us.
I'm game.
We can have our own
thing. That works for me.
Number 12, Final Girl. Huh. So here's the thing. Jamie Lee Curtis is fantastic. She kicks ass. She is wonderful. Technically not the final girl.
Yeah.
Because
she's never a target.
She's never a target. And so technically she isn't. You can still call her one if you want to.
To guys, the final girl. Yeah.
Technically, the guy is the final girl. But you know what? I don't even care because she kicks ass and she's awesome. She protects him. And in that way, that is...
Don't shoot the killer!
It's definitely breaking convention, and I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I very much liked how she was just... Like, instantly, I'm just going to jump on this dude's back. He's swinging an axe around. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, she goes out. She slaps him across the face with, like, the broad side of the axe. Like, Jamie Lee went all honey badger on him.
Honey badger, don't give a fuck. You know, like, go look up the meme. If you don't remember it, kids. Number 13, the Savini scale of gore. It's not the quantity of gore, it's the quality of gore, special effects, and monsters. So how many monobrowed heads?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
6 out of 10.
Even with that blood?
No, all that was paint. That's fine.
I mean, 4. 4 because they didn't try to do a fake head from the decapitation and do it poorly. They're like, no, you know what? Let's build like the set around him and just stick his head through there, which apparently I think he was claustrophobic or something. Cause there was a story that he, like the director had to sit next to him and hold his hand during that whole shot because he was freaking out. Internet trivia, take with a grain of salt, but I'll give him a 4 for that. Like overall, there's hardly anything in the movie and what they did was nothing great, but I'll give him credit for that move.
I mean, they blew up a van.
Yeah. They did blow up a van.
They blew up a van.
It was a bit premature blew up elation.
Yeah. You know, that happens sometimes, and it's perfectly natural.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I shall give it a 6, because as I said, there's not much in it. Mainly the head thing. That was probably where all the budget went. And while they use his real head afterwards, they do show it being chopped off and rolling.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that looked bad.
No.
So yeah. I was surprised they did it because they didn't show any other kill. And I was like, well, they don't have the budget. So I didn't expect it to happen. So, yeah, it was nice.
I'm going to give it a 5.5. half off for the color of, well, the blood-ish. If you were an Italian movie, I might have forgiven your blood, but no.
That's racist, I feel like, but okay.
Yeah, it is.
Especially because this is the Savini scale.
Yeah. And that'll wrap up the 13 for this episode. I want to read you the tagline real quick. If you're not back by midnight, you won't be coming home. Okay, Mom, then I won't be coming home. Just stay out all night.
You're not my dad.
Kill count of seven, I believe, was the kill count.
Sounds about right.
Because we had the little girl at the beginning.
Yeah.
Then we had the girl in the locker room. And then the couple. And Wendy. And Lou. And that's six. Was there someone else? Oh, and the brother.
The nurse.
The nurse, technically.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would
make it. They did go find a body, so there's a body.
Yeah, sure. That is true. I will add in Wicked Solitude moment, and that is number one, they totally did the establishing shots of the school and empty places and stuff, just like Halloween, but backwards, because they do it in the beginning of the movie. And I guess the ending of the film, the credits play over like just a shot of the abandoned building and very solemn. It's kind of a sad ending, but for some reason, all I can remember is prom night. Everything is all right. Even though everything isn't all right. There's, you know what it is? I just realized that all the songs that I really like are these happy, jaunty songs that are telling you that you're going to have fun and it's going to be a good time. But, you know, everyone's getting murdered and killed and stuff. So there's just something about that juxtaposition that I quite enjoy. And now we'll play What the Hell Was That? It's where we play a clip from our next movie provided by our clip curator, Dreadly. Play the clip, Dreadly.
Well, this is where I would usually play the clip. Except I'm not. Why? Because we're doing something different this time. What are we doing, Wicket?
Well, a great idea that came to us by Squatch is we're actually going to give the patrons and listeners the opportunity to choose between three movies that we will cover next. Now, by the time you hear this, it will already be done, but this is just kind of a reminder that it's happening. And so the movie that you all selected is
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
So you don't need to guess, and there's no game.
I mean, you can still guess if you want, you know.
I mean, but you know, and I just said it. Why would they guess after I just said it?
Imagine they guessed the wrong one. Wouldn't that be, you know.
Or it was one of the ones they didn't pick.
Yeah, but still, you know, give us a follow on Twitter. That's @GorePodcast. And we'll just say that Squatch was also the one that guessed the last movie, The Last House on the Left. So congratulations for Squatch getting the last one. I kind of like this idea. It won't. I'm going to see how it goes this time. And if it worked out and I liked it, then it'll happen again. Not all the time, because we got theme movies coming up. And, you know, August is a special time. We didn't get any emails, but you can email the show at gorepodcast13@gmail.com. We have a Patreon. And we have a new patron. And they weren't even guilted into it or nothing. We would like to welcome Ducky to our fold of Gorios? Gorions?
Gorhams.
Yes.
Gorons.
Always first twist your Gorions before you dunk them.
We're going to twist you and dip you in milk. Yes. But Ducky, or Dylan, I'm not really sure what you would like to be called, but joined us at our Friends Till the End level. So, yay! We love new friends. We appreciate that. And if you'd like to be like Ducky or any of our wonderful, wonderful patrons, you can go and do that at patreon.com/gore13. We still have that website created by our other listener and friend, Bumbats, and it's still wonderful and still located at gorepodcast.com. And if you'd like to support us in some non-monetary ways, leave a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. I mean, you can leave any number of stars, but I can't think of anything clever. Please just give me 5.
Also, tell your friends about the show. Spread the word. Get other people to listen.
Yes. Force them. Sit them down. Like, what's that movie where they put the things in the eyes and they make you watch something? A Clockwork
Orange. Go do that, but pry their ears open so they can't close them.
Yes, put things in your friend's ears.
Yes. No, perfect. Stop it.
Don't do that.
No, the only thing you should be putting in their ears is our lovely voices.
There you go.
Yay. But until then, Travis, where can people find you?
You can find me on all the social media platforms as TV's Travis. I'm most active on Twitter and Twitch. Also, on YouTube, if you want to give a follow, I post, videos of my podcast, Wait, You Haven't Seen, there. And I'm going to be adding more content to my YouTube channel soon. That's youtube.com/@TVsTravis, or TVsTravis.com.
And Faye, where can people find you?
On Twitter @ChibiFayLin.
And finally, Dreadly, tell people how they can travel to the bowels of hell to find you.
Well, just head on over to thedreadzone.com, where you'll find links to all my other stuff, like Twitch. Come hang out with me on Twitch. It's fun.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. And where can people find you, Wicked Kitten?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch at WickedKitten13. I did stream this recently, so it could happen again. Who knows? And if it does, you'll want to be there. Yeah. There you go. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope we made it a little harder to fall asleep tonight.